People need to regain an awareness of the way in which Jung's psychology is kind of a Copernican revolution in psychology. That is to say, a lot of the time in recent years, there's been a little bit of a moving away from a clarity about the uniqueness of Jungian psychology. And there are even people that call themselves Jungian analysts who have essentially been moving away from Jung's primal insight and the thing that really was radically revolutionary about his understanding. And what I was pointing out to them is his radical revolution is understanding that there are deep structures in the psyche, which we've come to call archetypes, but you can call them other things. They can be called instinctual drive patterns, they can be called biograms, they can be called all sorts of things, and in evolutionary psychiatry today there are lots of other names that are being used, and when we were here the last time I spoke about some of the sources on that in Anthony Stevens' work and others. But the important thing is that there are great forces in the psyche which are not personal and which have huge ramifications for personal and social life for our species. And these forces were there before we developed our egos to the level that they are developed to today, you know, imperfectly as they may be developed. But these forces antedated any kind of ego development. These systems, these intrapsychic systems, antedated the formation of our human little s system self. No matter what state our system self is in, these forces antedated it. Some of these great forces, these archetypal forces in the psyche, constitute the building blocks, the resources, the archetypal resources which we in our human individuation process have the challenge of becoming aware of, accessing, or beginning to relate to consciously, beginning to be able to regulate so that the chaos they create when you're not aware of them begins to dissipate. And hopefully as personal individuation and psychological development proceeds, one can look toward the goal. What is the goal of individuation? Or what is the goal of counseling, psychotherapy, analytical work, spiritual direction? The goal is to realize the potentials, to optimize the realization of the potentials that we have in us as an individual of our species, as the creature that we are. And many views of the human today, and I must say regretfully, they are becoming stronger. Subhuman visions of the human. Visions of the human which are not really worthy of this incredible creature that we are. Visions which reduce the human to biochemical or psychic automatisms, which see us as a machine, and psychopathology as manifestations of merely a broken machine. If you don't have any background in that, there's an old book that I mentioned last time. I want to mention again. It's an old book by Floyd Matson, Floyd M-A-T-S-O-N, and it's called The Broken Image. And it traces the development of sort of what we would call the incredibly truncated views of the human that have gained momentum in Western civilization. Now, it's very important for us, as I have pointed out before and I will continue, it's very important for us to come to a what some folks call a postmodern position. I think a true postmodern position is one which affirms the progress of interdisciplinary scientific studies and yet does not lose the capacity to have a certain humility in face of the magnitude of the mysteries that we face as human beings. The great Paul Tillich, who I have the pleasure of teaching a great deal, and I look forward to teaching you some advanced seminars on spirituality and psychotherapy, which will draw heavily on his work. But he had a vision of what he called a theonomous, T-H-E-O-N-O-M-O-U-S, theonomous partnership between science and spirituality, human spirituality, in which both science and spirituality accept their challenge in helping the human species achieve a new humility. Unfortunately, what human beings tend to do, given the runaway nature of archetypal energies in the psyche, unconscious archetypal energies, is that human beings tend to use science to support their grandiosity, and to use science to use religion to support their grandiosity. But Tillich had another vision, which I share, and which I believe Jung shared, and it can be demonstrated that Jung shared it, is that an appropriate approach to either science or spirituality has a sense of the enormity of the human tendency toward a grandiose, what we call in Jungian psychology, inflation. And therefore taking quite good insights and quite important resources and turn them into what Tillich called a demonic utilization. That is, and it usually takes the form of making greater claims for your data than really can be supported. And so what we've got now is we've got a situation in which there are really, really excellent scientific studies on all fronts, in a variety of disciplines. These need to be drawn upon and utilized. That's why we're using Theodore Milan's scientific studies of psychopathology as a beginning point of conversation this weekend, and we'll continue doing that when we look at integrative psychotherapy. So we want to honor those studies and try to reflect upon them without accepting the incredibly depreciatory philosophical anthropology, that is, the vision of the human that is so often a part of those kinds of studies. In other words, I'm recommending that you study carefully Theodore Milan's work, not because I think he has an integrated and adequate vision of the human, but because he's got a lot of important data that he got through very, very serious interdisciplinary scientific research. In my view, those in psychoanalysis today, whether they are followers of James Hillman in the Jungian camp or whether they're followers of the classical cohort in the Freudian camp who want to cut psychoanalysis off from scientific psychology, I think that is an obscurantist, disastrous move for a serious psychoanalytic science. And it is actually amazing to me how many really smart people have been kind of captivated by that anti-scientific vision for psychoanalysis. In my view, psychoanalysis is not religion. Jungian psychoanalysis should not be religion. It is a scientific psychoanalysis, and it has to be seen as such. It has enormous implications for the importance of spirituality and the importance of spiritual practice. And it has enormous implications for actually the underpinnings, the infrastructure, the psychological infrastructure, what I call the plumbing underlying human spiritual practice. It has enormous implications for discernment in spiritual practice, to understand why so often spiritual practice becomes, as Tillich said, demonic, or actually profaning of the human, and not helpful to the human. But psychoanalysis, whether it's Jungian or Freudian or Adlerian or existential analysis, it is not spirituality, and when one begins to use it as such, it makes bad psychoanalysis, and it makes even worse spirituality.